Great pleasure for me to introduce this last session of our face-to-face meeting. We will now take on a section about ensuring we have the same understanding of what we've been achieving, so taking stock. And we would like to start this with going back to the first point yesterday, circling back to the CWG request for support on our group and interrelation. And Thomas, are you taking over on this point?
Thanks, Matthew. I guess the purpose of the exercise is to get some feedback after we had 2 days of intense discussions as to what our group's views are with respect to the asks from the CWG. As you will remember, we have planned to have a joint communication with the CWG chairs, and I think we would appreciate a little bit more clarity on what message we could convey to the CWG and then ultimately to the wider community. So I suggest that we don't spend too much time on this. Certainly we will have to explore these points further as we're doing our work with respect to requirements and so on and so forth, but I think it would be good to catch up on these. So the first one is related to budget accountability, which is one of the key issues for the CWG. You will remember that we have included that in our tree structure relating budget approval. That's the financial aspect. Do you think that we've adequately covered the ask by the CWG in what we have so far? And I see Steve raised his hand, but please, for others, do also chime in. Please.
I'll start by saying that the decision tree we did, is only an up or down vote on the entirety of an annual budget. At that level of broadness, I don't believe it'll be granular enough to work for what is written under what the CWG was looking for. That seems to be a little bit more focused on the entities that support the IANA functions. If it is adequate, up or down vote on the entire budget, then fantastic. But I don't think we should presume that level of oversight is what they're at.
Do you think it would do the trick if we would specify that the budget should include special positions on these functions?
To answer you there, I worry that where would that ever stop? The budget transparently has that information on it. But if this cross-community group came together and began to pick and choose line items of the budget, I believe we would unravel the process. So transparency of the budget's there for an up or down vote, but I don't believe that any of us anticipated going in and changing line items on a budget. And I don't think we want to go there with respect to this last resort capability.
So I guess, Mathieu, you wanted to speak?
No, just to echo that, I think transparency on the IANA budget is probably something that the CWG might have the opportunity to issue as a recommendation without too much additional work, and that might be a step to ensure this transparency, which is absolutely needed.
Okay, so since these were points brought before us, would an adequate response, at least for the moment, be that we have what we have in the chart, that we have not foreseen to further break that down to the level of detail that the CWG might be requesting, and that we encourage the CWG to request that transparency with their own recommendations? So are we going to play the ball back?
I think we should claim that when we explain the item in the tree, it is a last resort element of measure. But short of that, we would happily support the CWG by requesting the level of transparency that they seem to be requesting. This transparency is very different than being able to approve or disapprove a single line item. So I'd like to be more supportive of their quest for transparency to the extent that it doesn't already exist, and remind them that while we are proposing a mechanism for an up or down approval of the budget, that we acknowledge that might not allow them to adjust a line item that they feel is too high or too low.
I see Chris's hand is up, please.
So just a question, are you asking for input on all on just the budget right now, or the other ones as well?
We're going to go through them one by one, so okay. Now we're talking about budget.
Sorry, thanks. Well, so I'll wait for the second one then when that comes up. Thanks.
Okay, so my takeaway message would be to describe to the CWG that we are just doing this binary thing, budget approval, yes or not, and that we support the notion of getting more budget transparency, that we will include something on budget transparency, likely, I should say, because we haven't yet final determinations in our recommendations, but also encourage the CWG to do the same if they have very specific demands in that regard. Does that accurately capture the temperature in the room? Good. Then let's move to the second point, which is accountability for delegations and redelegations. I think that we... Oh, this is the point that you wanted to
yeah.
speak to. Please do.
Okay, so I want to make it very clear that what I'm about to say, I'm saying as a CCTLD manager, as the CEO of ALDA. This concerns me enormously. I think that the GTLD redelegations or delegations, well, certainly redelegations, are governed by the contract that the GTLD registry has with ICANN. Those contracts are clear lines of dispute mechanism resolutions and so on, and ultimately would end up in court. And because it is a legally binding contract, it seems to me that it's I don't see how it's possible that you could have some form of outside community involvement in that. In respect to the CCTLDs, the current situation is that the work of the CCTLD Framework of Interpretation Working Group has completed a number of recommendations which will end up, in one form or another, will end up being the way that CCTLDs are dealt with in respect to the IANA function. One of those recommendations is that the CCTLD should work on bringing to fruition something that was mooted in RFC 1591, which is that there should be, for want of a, just to use shorthand, a sort of an appeals mechanism under which a CCTLD manager who is being redelegated, perhaps without their consent, would have a sort of final port of call appeal. That is a very, very specific and very CCTLD-focused issue. And that's where it should be dealt with. I'm not sure that there is necessarily scope or indeed a need for a separate mechanism, community-led mechanism, on accountability for redelegation. Redelegations, especially in the CCTLD world, are intensely politically sensitive. They involve usually a sovereign government, they involve an incumbent CCTLD manager, and they involve the IANA process. So I have a little bit of a concern that this cross-community working group would find itself in a position where it needed to come up with a function or an accountability mechanism. The only exception I can see to that would be very specifically that any board, accountability mechanism that held the board accountable for actions that it took in general terms could be used to hold the board accountable for any action it took in respect to a redelegation. To give you an example of something that might fit into that, and then I'll stop, it would be a circumstance where, for example, the government of Australia went through the redelegation process requesting that ALDA be removed as a CCTLD manager and replaced by somebody else. But the IANA staff produced a report that said this delegation should not proceed, and that the board overruled that report and said that the delegation should proceed. Now, the CCs themselves should be putting in place a mechanism for dealing with that, but I acknowledge that you could use a board mechanism for dealing with that decision. But that's the only sort of circumstance that I can see where this would be the case. So I'm more than a little perplexed that the CWG should be asking us to come up with a CCTLD-centric accountability mechanism when I think that that is absolutely and solely the role of CCTLDs and the GAC, and with GAC involvement as well. Thanks.
Thanks, Chris. Steve and then Jordan.
Agree with Chris, and I believe we can give them an answer that says two parts. First, to the extent that ICANN's board takes a decision or fails to act with respect to a CCTLD delegation, then we are pursuing mechanisms to challenge, review, and redress on that board decision. Second, we are also pursuing a mechanism that if management and staff pursue an action, that we would have a reconsideration capability for that from the community. An example would be Eberhard educated me the other night about the notion that staff just checks the box as part of the IANA function, checks the box to say procedures were followed. And Eberhard helped us by restructuring the stress test number 21, if you recall, and he suggested that he used very precise language about the fact that if staff checked the box, the procedures were followed, when in fact there wasn't procedures followed in this redelegation of a CCTLD in the country, well, then we would be able to assist the CWG because we would have a mechanism, that is to say, reconsideration of a management action, and not just on following, it could be on following processes, so the current reconsideration language may well work perfectly there. So it's a two-part answer, one board and one with respect to management on whether processes were followed.
Yes, thanks, Steve. Jordan?
I largely agree with what Chris and Steve have said. I just wonder whether, in addition to those things, there's any need to go back to the stewardship CWG and just say that this remains a TLD matter, and whether we can say that, or whether it's worth inviting the TLDs to do any further policy work they have arising from the FOI, just so that it's not seen as a gap or an omission by us.
Thanks. Ellen.
Yeah, I think we need to send it back with a specific question. I was the author of the first part of this, and then I turned it over to someone else. But the original request came in explicitly from a GTLD, and then CCTLDs were added on sort of after the fact. So we seem to be speaking different languages here, and we need some clarity. Either we're missing something or they're missing something.
Great. I think what Steve said, we can likely take more or less literally, you know, with the two parts to it. I guess there's one, or there are two bits that I would add regarding board decisions. I think we should maybe clarify that these, you know, because the board would make a decision on a delegation or redelegation, if they do, they approve it. If, you know, when the current process is that things would go to the board and then it would be enacted after the board has taken a decision. And that decision must not, you know, the part where the sovereign states are concerned with their CCTLDs must never be subject to board decision. That's what I'm trying to say.
But Thomas, it's Chris. That's not strictly correct. Under the terms of the current NCIA contract, the board is actually designated in the contract as merely finding that the process has been followed. The board itself does not say yes or no to a redelegation, and it's a clause in the NTIA contract that is the case. So the decision is about process, not about the actual delegation itself.
Thanks for the clarification. That I would deem a board decision. Right, and maybe it's just words. Right, if you think it's unambiguous that the board doesn't have a say in that, fine. I would just be as clear as can be that the board will never have a say with respect to the delegation or redelegation of CCTLDs.
Better to say, to the extent that the board takes a decision on the redelegation, we have mechanisms we're designing to challenge that decision. But start with to the extent, because we don't know forever and ever what's ever going to be the board's role with respect to redelegation. But we're making sure they understand we're not requiring the board to dive in. We're not allowing the community to dive in and question the redelegation. We are doing nothing like that. So that's why I'm saying, to the extent the board is there, but to clarify in the second one that management staff do take an action. Somebody who works for ICANN, the corporation, checks a box to say the procedures were followed, and that should be subject to reconsideration.
So we don't have to dwell on that for too much longer if it's just me. If you think it's sufficiently clear not to step on any CCTLD operator's toes, then it's good. Suzanne, you had your hand raised as well.
Thank you. Just to add a little bit, Suzanne, for the record, sorry. Just to complement what Chris just said, and so I will defer to Chris and Bruce and as to whether they consider that a decision, but his characterization of the current contract is completely correct. And my understanding is that the board receives a report. And so I guess you acknowledge the report. So again, I defer to you all as to whether you call that a decision vis-a-vis a particular Dell or redel, but it's technically a report. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I think to me, Suzanne, it's not that much different to what the NTA is actually doing. Because then after the board has it, it goes to the NTIA, and you do exactly the same thing. You're checking that the process has been followed. So really, I think we've been trying to improve our wording around that, but basically we're certifying that the process has been followed, and then we give it to the NTIA, and you do your own checks.
So I apologize for having kicked off this discussion. I wanted to be very clear. Obviously, there is clarity in the room, so let's move on. The second point that I wanted to make is that I think the CWG has expressed the need for an accountability mechanism where flawed delegations or redelegations can be appealed. And that is, and I think what we can maybe respond is that, you know, this, that we could make sure that the board can be directed to take care of that, to be there with other, no? Brown?
What I can say is that we've got mechanisms to challenge staff's indication that process was followed. That does answer a big part of this.
Okay, so if it's specific enough, Becky, your hand is raised.
Why don't we just say that there either are mechanisms or appropriate, you know, what either the SO, relevant SOs are developing process, are in the, you know, developing processes, because I think for the CCs, we will try to work out what the RFP 1591 requirements are for that appeals process.
Cavus.
Thank you. Cavus is speaking. I don't know whether this piece of work has been sent to us, CCWG, for information, for comment, or for a specific request. It's not clear in the document what has been asked from us to do so. Who is the addressee of this? Some of them, we may not go to such level of detail as is specified here. So this is a question that, do we need to react? And if we need to react, on what item we have to react? And what is the specific questions to us that we react on that? Thank you.
Thanks, Cavus. The history of this document is that we regularly liaise with the co-chairs of the CWG, and we were looking for areas where our work would be interlinked and where there might be areas of overlap that can be deployed by both groups. And we have, as you will recall, with the high-level statement that we've provided, we have offered the opportunity to the CWG to build on work results of our group that we're likely to produce. And basically, they have provided input coming out of their deliberations as to where they see areas where our work could be helpful for them. And so I think we are the addressees as the CCWG, and I think this is an encouragement for our group to respond, which is why we're now looking for input as to what content should go into the response. So with that, I think we can move to the third item, which is independent review of board actions. Any views, any feedback to that? I think that's something that we've covered in great detail or in the best possible detail in our chart. So we can then move to the next item, which is independent appeals panels. And we haven't gotten to the level of specificity as in this request, but I think it's safe to say that the mechanism that we are envisaging would be flexible enough to encompass these tasks. Would that be correct? Please.
And to the extent that the board has taken a decision or inaction, or to the extent that management took a decision or action. So I just wanted to qualify that if in fact a registry made a change to its own file or who is, it didn't involve policy, it didn't involve ICANN, it didn't involve the board or anyone else, we're not suggesting there's any means to challenge that.
Thanks, Steve. Unless there are objections, I would say that we respond along these lines, which would allow us to go to the last point, and that's control over ICANN board decisions. And I think maybe the first part of your answer, Steve, would be applicable here.
If I may, though, they use the word mandate, a particular board decision. And we have not crossed that bridge here as a group, that we're trying to design a mechanism to mandate a board decision. We have mechanisms to challenge, review, and redress on board decisions. We believe that mandating is something that it's really the job of the bottom-up multi-stakeholder process. So we would want to clarify that in your reply.
But wouldn't it be possible that the term mandate is reflected in our action because of inactivity?
But if there were inactivity where there should be activity, all that we have anticipated on the mind map was challenging the board's decision not to act, or having an independent review panel who says they should have acted. The result of either the reconsideration or the IRP will be, yes, board, you should act, but it doesn't mandate how and what they should do. That's why I'm being careful about it. We're not mandating a specific action, but mandating some kind of action.
Yes, the point that I'm trying to make is that the closest we have in our inventory is the inaction point, and I think we should respond that we have not foreseen to include something that will mandate the board, but that we have this point on inactivity or challenging inactivity. And then it's up for the CWG to decide whether they think that's good enough. I think Bruce was a millisecond earlier.
Can we do a replay?
Try again. I won. I think I'm really wary of the heading here and perhaps the wording of that first sentence. I think we need to be careful. So control over board decisions, the ability to mandate or overrule board decisions. Normally, what I think what you want to do is you want to limit the power of board decisions to be within its mission, bylaws, and articles of incorporation. So it's more a limitation of power that you're talking about here, and then having an independent review process, not a control mechanism, because then it becomes, whatever this thing is, basically becomes the new board. And whereas making sure that the board stays within its mission, bylaws, and incorporation is a limitation of power. And that is set through, you know, an independent panel reviewing against that standard.
Alan, and then Kavus.
Thank you. Alan Greenberg speaking. I can explain the origin of that. A number of the models that were being looked at for the IANA transition, the internal to ICANN models, required some mechanism by which, should there be a doomsday scenario, nuclear option, whatever, that ICANN be ordered to divest itself of IANA. And it was mandating that particular type of action that was referring to. Perhaps not. but it was essentially ordering that action, and that there must be, you know, a bylaw or whatever provision to allow that group
to order that action.
Right. So the method there is that that's something that's put in the bylaws, and then we're either adhering to our bylaws or not. Yeah.
Okay. I think we're still converging, and I think we need to be very aware of the respective scopes of both groups and not to overstep onto the request from the CWG, which it is not upon us to amend, but rather to comment upon and provide what explain what we can provide and maybe the limits we might have. And I think it's useful for the CWG as well to recap the discussions we've had regarding how mandating specific decisions might undermine the multi-stakeholder model, and that we won't cross that line for that particular reason. Unless, of course, there's something in a bylaw that says, in this case, in that case, in that case, the board has to act, and then we would have this option of mandating, challenging the board's decision not to act upon the bylaw. And so highlighting this as one possibility for the CWG, if they want to proceed in this direction for that particular case, might be useful for them. Is that an appropriate recap? I see nodding. So handing over to Kavis, I think.
Is that a direct follow-up?
Okay. At the time this was formulated, I don't think we were worried about the what if they don't follow it. It was the need to put a bylaw in to allow that entity to request it, and that's the part that we were looking to the CCWG for. I don't think it was, we thought the second order one of what happens when they don't.
Thanks. Kavus and then Greg Shett.
Thank you. Kavus speaking. I think as far as the review of the decisions of the board is concerned, we have addressed that in the flowchart, but we use different terminology. We have not used the terminology of control, because control, if you take it French, has a different meaning than control in English. Two different things. Control in French means that you decide whether it should go or not go. Control in English means that you monitor. I don't know whether this English is spoken, has started this, or French is spoken. This is one. Second, more important, is that said these measures might need to be augmented by advance notice of such decision. Does it mean that every decision of ICANN should be put before deciding to the community to, do you agree with that? Is it our course of action is entirely different. They decide and then we review. If decision is not correct, we redress that order. But not asking that please inform us all of your contemplated decisions, whether we agree with that. If not, don't go to the decision. It's quite different context here. Thank you.
Thanks, Kavus. And I guess adding to what Mathieu said earlier, we will explain what we plan to do. And then it's up for the CWG to see whether that fits. And I think we will very actively work with Avery in her liaison role to make sure that there is no misunderstandings in terms of language and us understanding the request. Let's go to Greg. Hi, Greg.
Hi. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. At least it's morning here.
Greg, you might be on mute.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Now we can hear you. Welcome.
Okay. Good morning. Good afternoon. Couple of thoughts or here. I think that documents like the one in front of you are necessarily short and leave out details, sometimes important details, and then assumptions can be made about what those details would have been that don't fit with those of the drafters. I think this is a case of that, in my opinion. The talking about number five, control over ICANN board decisions, the underpinning of this was that the control would take place after a multi-stakeholder decision or multi-stakeholder process resulted in a decision. So, for instance, in the specific example that Alan gave earlier, that the decision that the board was being mandated to divest itself of the IANA functions group. That decision to mandate the board to do that would be a multi-stakeholder decision. It would follow the multi-stakeholder model. So this is not an issue where the multi-stakeholder model is being ignored or sidestepped. Rather, it's a situation in which the multi-stakeholder model is being empowered, empowered over even the power of the board. So whether that's whether you disagree or agree with that, I just want to make sure that it's clear that this is entirely within the multi-stakeholder model. Second, while I only possess fluency in one language, which I guess defines me as an American, my understanding of control in this document is perhaps what a distinguished colleague, Mr. Aresta, called the French meaning, which is control as in power over others, not monitoring, but rather the ability to dictate or mandate that a decision be taken or that an action be taken. And finally, I'd point out that some of the language here is careful, or maybe it's all careful where it is drafted. We're referring to mandating or overruling a particular board decision. So this is not intended to be a broad review process or a final stop for all board decisions, but rather it would require a multi-stakeholder driven decision to overrule a particular board decision or to mandate that the board act in a particular way. Whether any or all of this is completely realistic or easy to implement is a different question for a different day, but I just wanted to clarify, at least in my mind, what the CWG was aiming at in this particular section. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg. That's very important information. Nonetheless, I think resulting from our two-day meeting, I think that we can't go further than what we have in our chart. So I would suggest we respond to the CWG as we've discussed, and it's certainly in the CWG's full discretion to alter their requirement specification and maybe deploy what we can offer. But unless the group advises otherwise, I think we should stick to the response as we've outlined it. Cavus, your hand is up.
Yes, Chairman, Cavus is speaking. If we read below each of these items, it is mentioned this could be used in item 2 above for CCTLD. When we reply to them, we should mention that CCWG has noted that some or many of the items will indicate the item relates to the accountability in regard with the CCTLD, whereas the accountability that we are discussing is not limited to that particular thing. It's a more overall accountability. So we should mention that, the differences. Thank you.
Thank you, Cavus. Any further comments on this?
We'd be happy to review the draft of the response.
Yeah.
If you felt that you had to go out on a limb to write it, we could help.
No, we'll share that with the group. Avery, please.
Yeah. Thanks. This is Avery. I missed the very beginning of this walking in, which, of course, was very irresponsible of me. But I'm trying to figure out, since we do have a work area, and it sounds like you all are volunteering to write it, which is kind of nice and somewhat unexpected. So, because I was wondering how you wanted to use the work area that you defined for this kind of communication, and whether perhaps you wanted to take your draft or part of the discussion or my helping to build a draft and put it into that area for a certain amount of discussion before it went, or is this something that you guys are going to write up a note, pass it for review, and then send it? So I'm really asking about the process of answering this and how you want to do that. And since I put myself on the hook as the rapporteur on that one, I figured I should ask the question.
Avery, almost sounds like you're disappointed or jealous not to hold the pen for this
not
exercise.
Not at all, not at all. I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't skirting my duty.
I would suggest, without having consulted with my colleagues, that we could volunteer with staff assistants to derive the answer from the transcript of this meeting, because I think everything that needs to go in a response is there. And I expect that interaction between the CWG and our group will be required to further work on the details, because I think it might be better for you to take over that role rather than us doing that in the weekly co-chair calls. So if I may suggest, we would set the scene with a response that we're going to draft. We will check with the group, and I think you will pay special attention to that with your role as rapporteur, and then we would leave the follow-up to you and the group. Is that an acceptable proposal?
That works just fine for me.
Great.
Thanks.
Good. Now, I guess we have like two items left for today. Just to make sure we haven't forgotten to recap on this part, because you're going to get the recap of this session in the draft, right? So we're not going to summarize this, but we would like to speak a little bit about the planned statement by the co-chairs that we will publish, as did the CWG. We think this is very good practice for the co-chairs to inform the community about the progress that we've made. And after that, Mathieu has volunteered to recap the day briefly, so that everybody can refresh their memories on what we've achieved today. So basically, what we can say, I think, is that we've been working on the definitions document yesterday, that we have matured the document to a level where we can share it with the independent advisors, which I think is a huge milestone, because this group has completed its work to the best possible extent, and now we're seeking independent advisors' feedback, and then it will come back to the group for hopefully finding consensus on it. So that's the first outcome. The second outcome, I guess, is that we worked on the requirements of an accountability mechanism. We have detailed and reached agreement on a set of requirements that's not to be mixed up with consensus on the implementation or feasibility. So this document just is the basis, or let's say a roadmap, for our continuing work on these questions. But I think it's very good to have a list of very specific things that we now have to flesh out. So we have the building blocks of an accountability ecosystem, if you wish, that we need to further refine. We have identified working parties or avenues that will work on these and will further specify these. We will scope, or we have a scoping document stemming from that exercise that would inform external legal advice that will then hopefully help us with the implementation. And I think I should also add that we have a list of contingencies that we've been working on, and we have allocated sub-teams to work on and further and ask the four specific questions with respect to contingencies identified, which we will then use for stress test purposes as we move on. So I think these are the main takeaways that we would like to share with the community. We will certainly also say a word about a response to the CWG to inform them that we are in constant discussion with them and that we're making progress with this closer interaction with the CWG. Is there anything else that you would like to see highlighted in the co-chair statement?
Steve Del Bianco, right before the break, I had a huddle with the back bench in the room, and they really do have more fun back there. And what troubled me was the post-lunch discussion about whether or not another structure or entity or Uber committee had to be there. And our discussion revealed a much easier way to think about it, and I would invite the chairs to consider this in your statement. After you're explaining the mechanisms in the map where the community would be able to exert these powers and have this standing and that the board had to follow them, after that's articulated, I would indicate that the word community in that mind map is an open question as to what form that would take. On one hand, it might just be the existing community getting together via email through the ACSO and SG leaders, if that's possible. It might also be a permanent cross-community working group, such as we use for policy development today and affirmation reviews. On the other hand, it may need to be something with more legal structure if it's to have these powers to overturn board decisions. And we're pursuing legal advice on that. So the progression from just an email list to a member structure is a progression that is driven by the legal requirement to have something in the bylaws and articles that works under California law to be able to overturn a board decision. I remind you of what was already in the inventory. Our articles of incorporation today already say that the board's decision on bylaws can be overridden by members if we had members. There's a section of the bylaws that says we don't have members. It may be that we need members in order to exercise these powers. But if we don't need a member structure to exercise powers over the board, I don't believe anybody in this room said we have to do one. There was never any desire to do a member structure. It was a mechanism to accomplish the ability to overturn a board decision, to vote up or down on a board budget or a bylaws change. So I think explaining it in that way makes it clearer, and I do hope Robin and Aubrey are nodding in the vertical direction as opposed to negative. But I think that's much clearer about it, and it should relieve a lot of the unease that was associated right after lunch. Thank you.
I think those are very good points. And that actually capture the spirit in which we want to be working on that issue. I mean, as much as we can rely on existing stuff and not create new things, we will, based on what is achievable in the context. And that's very important to stress, just as it was very important to stress that the mechanism should not undermine the bottom-up multi-stakeholder model.
Mm-hmm. So unless there are further comments or remarks, I can hand over to Mathieu.
Thank you, Thomas. My work here is greatly facilitated by the fact that the chair's statement is already recapping everything we said over the 2 days, so I won't go over it once again. What I'd like to stress is our open work items, so that we leave this room with clarity about what's next for our group, for this group. So there's work on liaising with the CWG, both at chair level and through Avery and the work area 3, which is clearly outlined. There's work on contingencies for adjusting the questions. That's something that we've taken on as co-chairs, and to work on the different categories and expanding the responses to those questions within the group that's been created for that purpose. Regarding the documents and scoping, there is ongoing work, because I've received some input over the day, very valuable, to finalize the document, circulate it to this list, discuss this at an upcoming meeting that we'll have on conference call, and circulate it to the advisors. We are setting up the two Avenue working parties, and I am delighted to say that we have two very skilled and committed rapporteurs, Becky for the redress, review and redress avenue, and Jordan Carter, for the record, Steve said, oh yeah. and so Jordan Carter for the community empowerment avenue. I want to thank them. We're very pleased to have you on board. and the tasks, the first task of these avenues is going to be to clarify scope of those avenues, and then we'll move into the how can we questions. So that's what we have. And we also have, and I want to stress that as well, three different background items to tackle. First is we will go through a thorough review of the timeline, and that's both to ensure we can be consistent with the expectation to present something by Buenos Aires in a manner that accommodates the various delays we have to be facing for public comments and supporting organization and advisory committee engagement. So that's something we're going to undertake with the support of Barry from staff and check. And a part of this will certainly come to the discussion about another face-to-face meeting between Singapore and Buenos Aires. We had in mind something around April and has to be designed, but I also include in that some form of, and that's going to be quite a bit of work, of timeline regarding the other items from our list that were not flagged as one, and where we got that very relevant remark that unless there is a very a trusted timeline for that, that might crumble the whole system. And so I think we will need to organize some work on that matter, and I'm not losing track of that at all. Second thing is preparing for Singapore. We've addressed that this afternoon. We need a full outreach plan and probably a one-pager or other things. So we need not underestimate the amount of work to prepare for that. And finally, we do need legal advice. And that is also something we are taking on from that meeting to expedite would probably be a bit strong, but would be great. The urgency on that matter is quite high, and I think we've all agreed on that. So in terms of recap of where we are, I think that's it. This meeting has exceeded my expectations in terms of outcome. It might not be the case for you, but at least in terms of the progress we've made, I think we've come a good way. There's still a lot to be done, I've been very impressed by how constructive everyone's been and the level of participation, both in this room and remotely, has been very high. And I take this as an extremely encouraging sign that our work is getting people involved, and that's obviously extremely important. Do my other co-chairs have?
I do.
Did I forget anything?
I think you have, actually, and I think we owe a big round of applause to the technical support team for making everything run so smoothly.
Yeah.
And to our superb staff that's supporting us.
And to our superb co-chairs.
Cavus.
Cavus, you want to add something?
Yes. I think at every meeting, usually, delegates or participants may give their impressions. First of all, thank you very much, co-chairs. Sincere appreciations for all the preparatory work that you have done, including the activities and work of the ICANN staff. Secondly, the way that you have conducted the meeting created an environment of friendship to allow everybody to constructively and friendly and smoothly participate in the discussions. Even if we had some little difference sometimes, but we express it in a more friendly manner that contributed to the success of the meeting, thanks to the way that you have conducted. Above all of that, we always, having this face-to-face, we remember your smiles, very, very constructive. Really injected a lot of consentive to us and allow us also to share that and be more friendly. Thank you very much. Continue to smile. Someone like Matthew was more visible, some others in a hidden way, but all of you were smiling. And thank you really very much, very much. Thank you.